Okay, good morning. I am happy to be here. I love seeing the Christmas decorations up here because I haven't done anything yet at my house. A little bit about me, my husband and I and my daughter live in Creighton. We just bought a house in O'Neill, and so we're trying to do some fixing up to that so we can move in because my husband is in the tax industry. So once January 1st hits, we get what we get. So we're trying to kind of push through, and so I haven't even hardly given any thought to Christmas decorations and all of that. I have ordered a few gifts online, but most of us, like, we know the Christmas routine pretty well, right? We usually set up our tree the weekend after Thanksgiving. Didn't happen this year. We pull out all the same ornaments. My girls enjoy putting on the ones and talking about, you know, oh, I remember this one, remember where this is from. We know the goodies that we like to bake, and so it's all very predictable. My kids tell me what they want. They're old enough that I don't have to guess. They just send me the link, and I order it, and it makes it pretty simple. Wrap those presents. We know what Christmas morning looks like, and all of these things are very expected and predictable for us. When I was growing up as a child in my family, we always put up a real tree, year after year. And this one particular year, my dad brought the tree into the house. We're getting it in the stand and ready, you know, we had the whole evening planned. We're going to put the lights on, put the decorations on. My dad was trimming the bottom of the tree to get it to fit in the stand, and somehow the saw slipped and cut his wrist. He's alive, okay, so don't get too scared. But suddenly, we didn't finish the night the way we planned. Things didn't go as we expected them. My dad ended up in the emergency room. Of course, they did a whole mental health exam, making sure that he was okay. But things, the unexpected things happen at the most inopportune times. And you don't have to go very far back into the recesses of your mind to recall the last time something unexpected happened in your life. And it doesn't even have to be related to Christmas. Maybe you were in the middle of making a special dinner. Maybe it was Thanksgiving Day. You're in the middle of making something and, oh my goodness, how could I have forgotten to have this ingredient on hand? I don't even have what I need. And all of a sudden you've got to change course or find a store that's open on Thanksgiving Day and go and get what you need. Maybe you and another student have been working on a project, a presentation, day after day, and you're supposed to present on a certain day, and so you've got it all set to go, and your friend is sick. And you have to do the presentation on your own. That's not the way you planned it. It's not what you expected. You came to church on a Sunday morning and expected to see your pastor. The unexpected happens. You're going to a routine doctor's appointment, and the results come back that raise concerns. You're going through the course of your day and you get an unexpected phone call with bad news that hijacks the next week of your life. These times that happen for us create some very impulsive responses and some emotions that sometimes are uncomfortable. We feel the fear, the shock, the surprise, panic, sadness, desperation. Some days, things go just as they're expected. The schedule is on track, plans fall into place, everything happens, the story unfolds the way that we think it will. And that's the way we want it to happen. That's what I wish for you for Christmas time. But let's be real. It might not happen that way. But when it comes to Christmas and the Christmas story, as we read about it in the Bible, it is something that's very familiar to us. We know exactly how the story plays out, right? We can probably recite it from memory. I bet there's even children in the room that can tell us the Christmas story by heart, not leaving anything out. We know that an angel comes to Mary. And we're like, oh, I know what he says. I know what he says. He says, you're going to have a baby. And he tells her that she's going to have a baby. We know that she goes and tells Joseph, and we know what Joseph's going to do, right? He's going to say, I am out of here. I'm not doing this. But then an angel comes to Joseph. We're like, oh, I know what the angel says there. He says, your wife is pregnant. She's going to have a baby. You have to name him Jesus. Like, I know what he says. Then I know what happens next. I know that all of a sudden they have to go to Bethlehem. They have to ride on a donkey. Mary's got to make this trip. They have to go there. And we know that then they find that there is no room for them to stay. So they have to go to the barn. They're in a stable. We know that Jesus is born. We know that the shepherds see the angels and they come and visit. And we know that somewhere along the way, three kings show up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know that story because we hear it over and over, and we see it reenacted. And so we sometimes are like, yeah, I know what's going to happen. I want us to put ourselves in that story today in real time, as if we've never heard it before. I want us to live out that story the way that Mary and Joseph did, and they didn't know what was coming next, because it's a very different story when you look at it that way. We can speculate about how this went down in real time. When we come into the New Testament, the very first thing that we learn about Mary and Joseph is that they are engaged to be married. Such a happy time. Think about when you were planning your wedding, or if you're a little girl or a young man thinking about, what will my wedding be like someday? You envision the dress. You know, when you get engaged, you put out save the date reminders. Girls, you go and find your dress. You say yes to the dress. You call your attendants. You plan the food that you're going to have and the place where you're going to celebrate. Mary did the same thing. I'm sure she sat down with her mom and said, okay, this is going to be a big party. It's a big day. What are we going to serve? What food are we going to make? Mom, let's make my dress. What is my dress going to look like? And she's thinking about her dress and planning that. And they're talking about the people that are going to be there to celebrate. And, oh, I hope this person can make it. And I hope this can happen. And as Mary's sitting there stitching on her dress, it so happens that an angel all of a sudden just shows up out of nowhere and says, don't be afraid. She's planning her wedding. We read in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. Mary says, or the angel says to Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. She's looking at this stitch that she's in the middle of making, like, I'm planning my wedding. What? Are you kidding me? Like, she's a teenager, remember, okay? And the angel says, first of all, don't be afraid. Like, okay, that's enough to be unexpected. But then he gives her news that that's a lot to take in just a few sentences. At some point, she goes and tells Joseph. Joseph, meanwhile, you know, he's getting ready for getting married. Part of his responsibility is to build a house for him and his wife to live in. He's got to provide this shelter, this place of protection. So he's a carpenter, probably a family business. He's probably working with his dad, building the house, thinking about, oh yeah, you know, we'll make this little spot here, and we're going to put the bed over here, and we'll put a table and chairs here. And then Mary tells him, Joseph, I'm pregnant. He's like, okay, hold up. We're not building this anymore. Uh-uh. I'm not bringing you into my life. I'm not doing this. We're not going to get married. He's devastated. He gets an unexpected visit from an angel. We read about that account in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Joseph's plan was to consider, he was going to divorce Mary. And in verse 20, it says, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. Both Mary and Joseph have this incredibly unexpected event happen. When they are like this is what we're expecting to happen. We're going to have a wedding. We're going to move into this house. And it all kind of blows up in their face. The questions they ask have to be, how? This has never happened before. Someone getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit, like, this doesn't make sense. Why? Why me? Why her? What are we supposed to tell people? Joseph's thinking, what does this mean for my business now? That's why I'm like, I can't be married to this woman. People aren't going to want to do business with me. And we don't know exactly how. We don't know what takes place in their mind and heart for Mary and Joseph to come to a place of, okay, we know that an angel came to Joseph and told him, move forward. But they come to terms with the fact that they're going to have a baby. We read in Matthew chapter 1, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. So he took on this role now of a caring protector. We are going to have a baby. We're going to do this together. So now he goes back to building the house, and he's also going to build a bed for the baby. Mary is going to continue to make plans for the wedding, but now she's also going to be making blankets and baby clothes, expecting now that they're going to have this baby. She probably met with a midwife. She had never obviously given birth before. So now her conversations with her mom are not just about what is it going to be like to be married and what do I do as a wife, but what do I do as a mom? Having these conversations, you know, when do we call the midwife? Who's going to go out and get the midwife? They can't pick up the phone. They can't send a text. Who's going to go and get the midwife? How is this going to happen, you know, when it's ready for the time? If you've given birth in this century, you know very well the great lengths that we go to minimize the unexpected as much as possible. As women, we go so far as maybe to use natural family planning, where we actually plan the date of conception. Because we know, like, I want to have my baby in this month because that's what works best for my life. And so then I'm going to go back this many days and figure out when conception needs to happen. We get an ultrasound, make sure the baby's healthy, find out the gender. We don't get an angel coming to us giving the gender reveal. But we look forward to that. We expect, and then we can plan. We make detailed birthing plans to talk about what drugs do I want to have administered and when and who's going to be in the room. Some of us have had to have a C-section or a scheduled to be induced. So we plan as much as we can to minimize the unexpected. We want to know what to expect. Mary didn't have all those options. But she planned what she could for the birth of her baby. And then we come to another unexpected event. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So all of a sudden this news comes through. You've got to go back to your hometown. You've got to go back to where your family originated from. And Mary and Joseph are like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, does this have to happen right now? Now we have to make an unexpected, unplanned, and a very uncomfortable trip as a very pregnant woman. Can this wait? Is there a medical exemption I can qualify for? Can't we send someone else, a delegate? Do we have to go in person? Can we register by absentee somehow? Like, are you seriously kidding me? Mary and Joseph make the plans, adjust their plans again. The birthing plan, you know, they're thinking, well, maybe we'll just go to Bethlehem. Let's figure out, like, okay, it's this far. It's going to take us this many days, so then we have to leave on this day. They're probably going to travel with some family, so get together with family and coordinate, okay, who's going to bring what. Who's going to prepare the food? Who's going to pack this? Because there ain't no McDonald's on the way to Bethlehem. They figured when they get there, where they're going to find an inn, a place to stay. Somewhere, you know, they're going to get their business done. They're going to return back home and have the baby, you know, call the midwife, have the family there and all of this. That's their plan. That's what they expect. But we know what happens. They get to Bethlehem and start knocking on doors. Sorry, we're full. Joseph says, it's okay, Mary. There's one down here. Let's go here. Knock on the door. Hey, man, we don't got any room. I'm sorry. Joseph's reassuring Mary. It's okay, Mary. It's okay. The guy says, you know, I think that one down the street, they had some openings a little bit ago. They walk down there, knock on the door. Nope, we're full. Panic starts to set in with every rejection. How many times did they have to hear those words? Finally, someone says, I'm full, but I can offer you my barn. They're like, you know what? At this point, it's better than sleeping on the street. Like, we're tired. I'm like, I got to lay down somewhere. Joseph's like, let's do it. It's probably just going to be for tonight. People will leave town tomorrow. We'll be able to get to someplace comfortable tomorrow. So it's just for tonight. We'll make the best of it. Luke 2, chapter 6 tells us, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to a firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You're settling down for the night in the barn, dealing with the animals, all of this stuff, trying to get comfortable, and that first contraction happens. Like, no, not here, not now, this isn't happening to me. You've got to be kidding me. Like, is her family around? I don't know. There are a lot of things that we can run interference, right? And we can reroute plans, we can change things, but a baby who's ready to make its entrance into the world is not something you can stop. It's going to happen. And so they go through this event. There's no bed for Mary. The bed that Joseph made for his baby isn't there. The blankets and clothes that Mary had made for her baby, they're back in Nazareth. It's unexpected. We also know that nearby there were shepherds in the field tending their sheep that night. They were just going about their business, regular night, watching for the wolves, taking their turns of who's going to stay awake and who's going to be on sleep and the rest in between. Quiet. All of a sudden, there's this blast of light and this host of angels that comes in the sky and tells them this news that there's a baby that they have to get up and go see. That's an unexpected event for them. And you can be sure Joseph and Mary were not expecting visitors in that moment. And so these shepherds show up and they're like, okay, hi. This really isn't our best moment, but the shepherds go into worship. We know that the wise men come at some point, like we said, and they bring their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so once all that is over, Mary and Joseph are like, okay, we can settle down now. We're going to raise our family. We're going to live in this house that Joseph has built. They're going to have more children. Like, again, they set up a plan that they expect of how things are going to happen. But Joseph gets another unexpected visitor from an angel in his dream that tells them, someone's trying to kill your baby. You need to leave. You need to go to another country and stay there until it's safe for you to come back. We just had this figured out. And this baby, like, we know that he's something special. We know that he's the Son of God and he's going to deliver people from their sins. We know that, as we read in the prophet Isaiah, that the government was supposed to be on his shoulders and there was, like, no end to what he was going to do. And isn't there some kind of special protection on this baby? What do you mean someone's trying to kill him? We just had him blessed at the temple by the priest. blessed by God, and now you're telling me that someone's trying to kill my baby. So they pack up what they have and they leave in the middle of the night and flee to another country. Not the plans that they had for their family. It's not what they expected. Are you starting to see a theme in their life? If I were to title those first couple years that Mary and Joseph were together, I would title it, Expect the Unexpected. Because it just kept happening. Like, don't bother making any plans because they're going to get changed, right? Like, you just learn to go with the flow. The plans keep changing, but the question we have to ask, whose plans change? Mary and Joseph's? Absolutely. They made plans, just like you and I would. But God's plans didn't change. God's plan in this was foretold by several prophets. We read from Isaiah this morning, hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And the prophet Micah in chapter 5 of the book of Micah says, But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Out of Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. So God knew, and he planned long before, that they would have to get to Bethlehem. So God planned that Augustus would make this decree to send people back to their hometown. It had to happen while Mary and Joseph were engaged, because if they weren't, Joseph would have just gone on his own. But because they were engaged to be married, they had to go together. God made it happen at the very time that Mary was about to have birth, so that God's plan for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem would happen as God planned and expected it. All of those things leading up to that were very unexpected to Mary and to Joseph. And it felt like the plans kept changing. But from God's perspective, that was the plan. And it didn't change. Joseph and Mary were people of faith, and they knew that their God was faithful. And so even though these plans kept changing, their faith in God led them to believe that not only could they expect the unexpected, but so much more than that, they could expect God in the unexpected. They expected God to show up in the unexpected. When we have those things happen in our life, those unexpected events, it's normal that our response is surprise or fear or confusion. But it's not healthy to stay in that place. Those feelings and those responses come naturally. But we can see from Mary and Joseph that they worked, they had those feelings too. They had that shock. Mary's first words to the angel, like, how can this be? And Joseph, his response was, we're calling off the marriage. Like, those were emotional responses and actions they took. But we know that they came to a place of working through the unexpected, moving to a place of trusting God. And their faith in God led them to obedience, which should remind you of a couple weeks ago when Pastor RJ made that very clear of what our faithfulness to God should look like. It's not just a matter of what saying what we know to be true, but it's acting in obedience. Mary and Joseph not only knew that God was faithful, they acted in obedience and showed their faith. We see this happen for Mary. We see it in the words that she speaks. She says when the angel comes in Luke 1:34, how will this be? And the angel gives her an answer. And by the end of the conversation that Mary and the angel have, Mary has come to the point of saying, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I'm going to expect God in this unexpected moment. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to expect that God will show up. She ends up going to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and when she gets there, she breaks out into song. I don't really know why song is the response, but it's what happened for her. And some of the words that she says in that song give testament to her faithfulness that leads to obedience. She said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. I know that God sees me. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." She talks about how his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. She's recalling the things that God has done, the faithfulness. He performed mighty deeds. He scattered those who were proud. He brought down rulers. He lifted up the humble. He filled the hungry with good things. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. She has a little bit of the scope of the bigger picture that what God has done for his people in the past, he will continue to do now and in her life. And so she speaks these words of faithfulness and obedience. In Joseph, we see his response of obedience, not so much in his words, but in his actions. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of words for Joseph, probably because men don't use as many words as women do. But we see his actions. We know that his intent was to divorce Mary. But the angel came and said, "Take her to be your wife." And he responds in obedience when he wakes up. He did not have sexual relations with her until the baby was born. He was faithful. He was righteous. When the decree came that he had to return to his ancestral home, he was faithful to do that, even though it meant discomfort. It meant something unpleasant. He knew that he had to be faithful and follow through with those actions. He knew that he had to take Mary with him. He probably didn't want to, knowing what it would put her through, but he knew that he had to because they were together. She had to register as well. When the baby was born, he chose the name, assigned the name that the angel told him to. Give him the name Jesus. Joseph obeyed and named his baby Jesus. The Jewish law gives Jewish families instruction to go to do the purification rites at the temple. Joseph led his family to follow that law. He did all the things that he knew he had to do. And when the angel said, "Get up and flee, get out of this country and go to Egypt," he went without knowing, without understanding, without having planned it. What we see in Mary and Joseph is an obedient faith in the midst of unexpected. And their obedient trust in the face of those unexpected changes allows us to be a part of the greatest story ever told. Because if Mary and Joseph had not done any one of those things in all of those unexpected moments, we don't know how the story would play out. But thank goodness they expected God in the unexpected. As they raised Jesus, they got a front row seat to how the story of how God's bigger plan was unfolding. And they started to learn that, you know what? God's plan is going to play out in ways that we don't expect. They saw it happen time and time again. And by the time Jesus gets to be an adult, there's a story where we see that Mary has fully embraced this belief that she could expect God in the unexpected. They're at a wedding. Jesus and his mother and family are at a wedding. And the wine runs out. So you can imagine the family's panic. What are we going to do now? And so Mary, you know, she goes up to Jesus and she's like, "Hey, did you know? he's like, doesn't really address it, doesn't really say anything. But Mary expects God to show up in this unexpected moment. And she goes over to the servants and she says, you just wait. There's something cool that's going to happen here. And so whatever Jesus tells you to do, you do it. She was teaching them to expect God in the unexpected. So Jesus tells them, go fill them, the containers with water. So they do it. And they come back, and what pours out of there is wine. And I can just see Mary sitting back there like, I knew it. I knew it. I knew that God would show up. But the biggest unexpected event was still to come. Because Mary and all of her Jewish people and her family, they were familiar with the prophecy that someone would come to rule the people of Israel. They were going to deliver them. They were living under this oppression, this Roman oppression. And they thought, Jesus is the one who's going to deliver us. He's going to set up a kingdom that knows no end. We are so excited about this to happen. So then as they watch, all of a sudden, in a matter of days, all of a sudden, people are turning against him and they're falsely accusing him of the very things that are true that he says. And like, what do you mean? Like, he's supposed to be here to deliver us. And they start to beat him. And then they take him and put him on a cross and kill him. And they're like, no, this isn't that. That's not what's supposed to happen. He's supposed to save us. And by God's profound plan of salvation, in that unexpected moment, Jesus did save us. He made a way for us to be made right with him again. It was a plan that he had set in place from the beginning of time to redeem and restore us to a relationship with him. And so all of these things that seem so unexpected and not that's not supposed to be this way, God says, this is my plan. It's part of my plan. When you think about the unexpected events, maybe you're living one right now. It probably hasn't been very long since something unexpected happened for you. Times something happened and you felt like you were thrown under the bus. When a friend betrayed your confidence, and you didn't expect that to happen. Times when you've had to regroup, be like, okay, we're going to change our plans. We're going to work with this. We, if you're anything like me, we go into this I'm going to make this right. I'm going to fix this. We're going to problem solve. We're going to make it happen. We're going to push through. We fight the unexpected with a vengeance. And we say, oh no, you're not letting this happen. Not me, not now, not here, not my child. That's unexpected. No way. We're going to be going into times when you're going to gather with family for the holidays, for Christmas. I promise you, something unexpected is going to go down. We're looking at a whole new year ahead of us. We might have some expectations of what's going to happen in 2024. But I can promise you, you will have something unexpected happen. Your expectations are not going to play out the way that you think they will. And so when you feel that initial shock, surprise, confusion, know that that's a normal response. But what then? Can we learn from the words of Mary and from the actions of Joseph to learn to respond in faithful obedience in ways that we can trust and expect God in the unexpected? I want to share the words that Mary, the angel spoke to Mary, and I think we can claim this promise as well when we're asking, how can this be? The angel's response to Mary says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. when you're in an unexpected moment, the Holy Spirit is with you. The power of the Most High overshadows you. We serve a God who is called Emmanuel, God with us, in us. He's in the unexpected. And what if the things that are unexpected to us are actually part of God's greater and better plan? I have a wall hanging in my office. It's followed me for several different offices. And it has the word hope in big letters. And then it says, waiting with expectation for the good and miraculous things that God will unfold. Expecting God in the unexpected. Waiting with that expectation. It gives me the picture, the image of a child, Christmas morning, sitting at the foot of the Christmas tree, staring at that biggest present with their name on it, wondering, what's in that? It's for me. Oh, I can't wait to open it. And as children of God, that gift is full of God's love. And that's what he wants to unfold. That is the good and the miraculous that he wants to unfold. And as you anticipate God's love, God being with you, you will learn to trust and expect God in the unexpected. And that will bring you hope. And you can have faith, you can follow in obedience that God's plan will unfold the way that he's intended it to, even if it may seem unexpected to us. Will you pray with me? God, when we think about the names that we read in the prophecy this morning, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, there's a tremendous amount of assurance that comes when we can grasp the belief that we can expect you to show up in the unexpected. And we can trust that you're going to do what you say you will do. You're going to be the God that you say you are. And we simply have to walk in that obedience. We don't have to panic and fear and try and rewrite history. We know that you are in history. But God, we need the faith that Mary and Joseph had, so that when we ask the question, how can this be, we can come to a place of peace and acceptance, not of what's happening, but of knowing that we are yours. And we can say, may it be to me as you have said. We trust your words. We trust you to be in the unexpected. And we walk in faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.